Father, as always, I thank you because when we hear your word and we are attentive to it, it brings light and understanding. Now we ask that that light will shine into our hearts this morning, giving us understanding, quickening us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to read some scriptures. I want to get straight to it and I want to talk about some things. We're going to start here in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And towards the end of this somewhere, I will address one question that was raised in the room towards the end yesterday. But right now, let me get into this lesson from Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, so-called, and Jesus is talking about a number of things that we want to look at this morning. So if you can read along or listen along, you know, that'd be great. As always, we ask that you engage the lesson in the Spirit of God. You know, that's the way that we are going to catch what the Spirit is saying. So, Matthew chapter 6. And verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Remember, today's topic is laying up treasures and rewards for yourself in heaven. So we're going to compare the rewards system of, you know, in our traditions and so on versus, you know, rewards in heaven and treasures that we may lay over there. He said, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So in many of these things that we will read this morning, Jesus will be saying that, well, if you do it this way, you have your reward of men. But if you do it some other way, you have your reward of God. You know, so the first point here is that these people that sound a trumpet when they are giving alms or offerings, in other words, make announcement, talk about it, you know, the key thing here is that they may have glory of men. You know, to be seen of men. So anytime we do something and the intent is to be seen of men or to have glory of men, well, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. And let me put out the first punchline right here today. You cannot get the reward in the both realms. You either get the reward of men or you get the reward of God. So which one is it going to be? Now, so Jesus will call out many things here. You know, that was the first one. When we give, he said, don't do it ostentatiously and then showing off, talking about it, enjoying the fact that it's, you know, announced, promoted, and so on and so forth. You know, and he said, well, when you do that, if you're doing that because you want to receive glory from men, if you're doing that because you want to be seen of men, say you have your reward. But he's going to tell you the correct way to do it. But when thou doest alms, let not even your left hand know what your right hand doeth. Well, if your left hand doesn't know what your right hand doeth, well, that's the way the Lord wants you to give alms. Don't even talk about it. You know, don't talk about it. Just do it in secret. He said that your alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. You know, so God's reward, you know, treasures may be laid in heaven. God may reward you here on earth, but there are other rewards in heaven as well. But if we receive rewards of men, then we may not receive anything from God. So there's two parts of this that we'll be talking about. And then he also talks about when you pray. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And Jesus didn't say that it's wrong to stand up when you pray, whether in the corner or in the street or in the synagogue. But what's wrong is that the motive is that they may be seen of men. And he said, again, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter thou into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret, seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. You know, and then he goes on to say, but when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. I'm going to dwell on that for just a minute, because that's an area that we don't pay attention to. Do not use vain repetition. The key word there is vain. You know, Jesus didn't say anything about not praying for something more than once. That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 18, he talks about men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he gave us lessons of, you know, the woman that went to the judge to ask for something from the judge, and the judge would not pay attention to her because he just disregarded her. But the judge said within himself, unless I, respond to this woman, she's going to wear me out by her continual coming. And so Jesus said, look at what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him, and etc. So Jesus is telling us persistence in prayer. It's not saying, that's not what he's saying here in Matthew 6. He gave other examples of a man that went to his friend's house and knocked and asked for bread to set, you know, before a guest that came in late in the evening when the shops were closed. And the man said, go away, my kids are in bed. I cannot get up. And the man kept knocking and asking, you know, and they said, well, the friend from within, he's going to get up and give it to him, not just because the man is his friend, but if he doesn't give it to him, the man's not going to stop knocking and he's going to wake up his whole family. So the only way to get rid of him is just give him what he's asking, and then, you know, then you will have some quiet. So this is not about us making prayer one time and then moving on and not pray about it again. That's not what this is about. This is about making vain repetitions. Just say the same thing over again means nothing. You know, so, you know, choose your words when you pray. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. You know, and just ramble on and so forth. Talk to God as though he were your Father right there in front of you that you're talking to. And Jesus began to teach them proper way to pray. You know, sometimes when we pray and people scream and yell and do all these things as if God is deaf. God is not deaf. You can talk to God just like I'm talking to you right now. You know, but, you know, we get carried away with our emotions. We scream, we yell, we use some phrases, we use this and that. I mean, talk to God just like you talk to somebody. He can hear you. Praise the Lord. All the screaming and all the yelling, that doesn't add anything to your prayer. That's just your emotion getting involved with all of that. You can talk to God. He can hear you. You don't need to scream or yell. And God doesn't, it's not deaf. We need to scream or yell and so on. You know, but you should talk to him. But Jesus gave us a template of how to pray. You know, instead of using vain repetitions, he said, when you pray, come with honoring God. First thing you do is hallowed be thy name and so forth. Then right after that, you start to pray about the things that are uppermost in God's heart, like his kingdom. And everyone should listen to our kingdom series that we talked about 3 weeks ago. I don't know. And if you were there, I'm sure it blessed you. If you were not, you should listen to it. Things that are uppermost in God's heart. And then he talks about, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, and why did he call it daily? Well, because he wants us to have daily dependency on him. And so on and so forth, you know. And you come every day, trust the Lord, and he'll give it to you. Even though the Lord can provide 3-4 years in advance, we need to still come and have that daily contact with him and that daily dependency upon the Lord, and not to think and forget the Lord, think that we God made. Now, it went on and on and on, and talked about prayer. So two things is talked about: how you do alms. If you don't do it right, if you do it in order to be seen of men, you have your reward. You have no reward from God. How you pray, if you pray to be seen of men and to get glory of men, show them that you know how to pray and so forth. You know, then you have your reward. You know, some people like to show off that they know how to pray when they pray. You know, I mean, just show off and do all kinds of things in their mind. You know, let the people know that, you know, I can really pray. I'm a prayer warrior and so on. Well, if you're doing, if your intent is to do it in order to be seen of men, if you do it in order to have glory of men, Jesus said, well, you have your reward. Now, then it goes on to talk about fasting. He said, when you fast, don't be as a hypocrite of a sad countenance. You know, because they disfigure their faces when they fast, so that they might appear unto men to fast. They wear a long, morose face, going about, you know, as if they're going to fall over. You know, just because they want people to know that they are fasting. And Jesus said, well, if you do that, you know, say, verily I say unto you, those people that do that, they have their reward. Their reward is that people recognize that they fasted. And, you know, say, wow, that guy can really fast. Well, that's your reward already. You know, but when you fast, Jesus said, look, don't even give the appearance of fasting. Wash your face, anoint your head, go about your business. You know, people don't know that you are fasting. You're fasting in secret. And the Lord will reward you openly. Now, so these things about you have your reward. Well, it means you can get reward from heaven or you can get reward from men. And then he goes on in verse 19 to talk about the one that we dealt with yesterday. Lay not up treasures for yourself upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves can break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. So, treasures in heaven. I've been talking about rewards. Now he's talking about treasures. So we're going to talk to these two things together. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you lay up treasures in heaven, your heart will be in heaven. You know, if you, and how we talked about, how do you lay up treasure to heaven? The only way to get it to heaven, you can't carry it from here, is to give it away while you're here. I'm talking about physical and material treasures. You can't carry money or treasures or gold or possessions. You can't carry them away to heaven. You know, Job was saying, look, empty and naked I came to this world and so will I return. Now, but if you give it away for the kingdom's sake, then that's one way to load it up into heaven. So, but let's talk more, a little more about this, rewards, and then we'll talk about some more treasures. Now, there are a lot of things that we can do upon the earth here while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, for which the Lord promised a reward. And, but we may or may not get the reward if we, our hearts are after the reward of men. So that's the thing that we need to pay attention to. You know, the reward system of God is not after man's pattern. The way man's pattern is for us to, you know, receive accolades and, you know, receive glory from men. Well, in that case, you have your reward. But in order to get the reward of God, you know, your heart should not be after the reward of men. Now, people may thank you. And people may praise you. Proverbs says, well, let another praise you and not your own lips. Well, you know, I mean, but your heart is not seeking for it. But what do? You must immediately return all the glory to God. As it is written, even in that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, thine is our glory and thine is our kingdom. At the end of it, you have to say that. Give all the glory back to him. And so on. Now, there are many things, you know, that Jesus said, or the scriptures talk to us about, you know, that we can receive rewards for. You know, what are the things? Well, all these things that we just read here about people, you know, not doing things right, you know, alms, prayer, fasting, and everything else, can actually receive rewards, not only in heaven, but also here. But Jesus said, your Father will reward you openly, but only if we do it right. You know, and, you know, there are other things that the Lord talks about us getting rewards from. You know, what are some of these other things that he talks about us getting rewards from? Well, Jesus said, you know, when I come again, Revelation 12, 22 and 12, you know, my reward is with me, and to give to every man according to their work, how their work shall be. You know, so there are rewards for works. You know, that's Revelation 22 and 12. That makes us realize that works have reward. Works that we do for the Lord, works that we do in the name of the Lord, they have reward. But we won't get the reward if we do those works to be seen of men. Now, whatever it is we're doing for the Lord, maybe we're helps, maybe we're, you know, gifted with helpings. But every time we help someone, we have to come out here or come out in the congregation, in the church, and say it, and, you know, say all the things we did, let everybody know what we did, how we helped that person, and so forth. Oh, well, we have your reward. And then you can't get another reward from God. You know, but if you did it for the Lord and for the kingdom without seeking any reward here, then you have reward. You know, so all the things, many things, you know, even, you know, the rewards, and we do the work of the kingdom and so forth. You know, there are many, you know, many things that we can have rewards from. And the scripture says, you know, we'll get reward if we faint not. But every man shall receive reward according to his own labor. Well, let's read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Well, Paul was talking about, look, you know, I may have planted and Apollos may have watered, but it's God that gives the increase. So why are you vaunted up one against the other? And one say, I'm of Paul. And another says, I'm of Apollos. What is that all about? Well, the same thing still today. People may not say I'm of Paul or Apollos today, but they'll pick their favorite prophet or their favorite denomination. And they'll label themselves with that. And that's all they care about. They don't want to hear anything else. I'm of this person, I'm of that person, and so forth. No, you should be of Christ. Did any of these people die for you? Paul was saying, did Paul die for you? Did Apollos die for you? We didn't die for you. We're ministers by which you believed. So whether I am the one that watered, Apollos was the planted I watered, or I planted and Apollos watered, it doesn't matter. We do our part, but God is the one that gives the increase. He's talking about that here. And then he said, you know, therefore, you know, he that planted and they, he that watereth, they are one. So we talked about the full body ministry a couple of days ago. You know, everybody do his part. You know, everyone do their part. Every joint supply their own part and so on. You know, but he said, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, it doesn't say exactly here how that reward will be, but if you labor and do it right, you will receive your reward. But there will be no reward if in your heart, while you were doing it, you wanted glory of men, you wanted to be seen of men, there will be no other reward, because you already have your reward. You get the reward, you can't get the reward from men and get it from God at the same time, you know. Which one would you prefer? You know, the reward of man or the reward of God? You know, so these are the things, you know, that we want to talk about today. And these are the things that we are actually talking about today. You know, so laying up rewards for yourself in heaven. or with the Lord, whether he chooses to reward you now, reward you in heaven. But rewards that we get in heaven, they are, you know, the Bible says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, at least of yet, they are eternal. So to get those eternal rewards in heaven, you know, on God's terms, we need to do things right. You know, wouldn't that be saddened? I mean, something that is really sad that we labor, and we, you know, but we don't get the reward. I mean, the laborer is worthy of his hire and is worthy of his reward. But Jesus said, you did get reward. You just didn't get it from the right place. You got your reward from men. So God said, well, you already have your reward. There's no more reward. But if you did not seek reward of men, then you get reward from God. Now, this is so important that we cannot say it enough times. You know, the reward that we can get from God is the real reward that we want. Now, Jesus made a profound statement. There's many things that Jesus talked about when he was, the examples that he gave of himself. You know, let's read some of them in John chapter 5. You know, when he was addressing the Jews, you know, talk about, you know, he wasn't there to honor or glorify himself or to speak of himself. We talked about that a lot when we talked about ambassadors for the kingdom. You know, but let's look at some of the things that Jesus said here. You know, first of all, he said, look, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he see the Father do, that he does. And so forth. You know, John 5:19. And he was talking about, you know, all the things that God has committed into his hands and so forth. And how he must do the things, you know, which is what the way the Father wants it. But let's drop down here to verse, 41. He said, I receive not honor from men. Now that's Jesus saying it. John 5:41. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in your hearts. And he said, look, I came in my Father's name. You did not receive me. And now that will come in his name, him will you receive. Now how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, see, so Jesus is teaching something here. It is better from God's perspective that we seek the honor that comes from God only and not the honor that comes from people. And what kind of honor comes from people? Well, you know, accolades of people say, oh, you're a great orator. Oh, you're a great teacher. Oh, you know how to break down the word of God. Oh, you know how to prophesy. Oh, you know how to pray. Oh, you know how to win souls. You know, and all these things, you know, and, you know, listen, we ourselves need to be careful. Do not put a stumbling block before your brother and your sister. Some people don't even know it, you know, I mean, they may be doing it innocently in their heart, you know, just thanking God for the grace of God that's in that person's life. That's good. But there's a way you can say it. The devil may use it and bring a stumbling block in that person's life. You know, we should always give thanks, you know, to God and praise God. Well, you can thank the person for their efforts, but if we go on and on and on about it, it may even enter into their head and they may think that they are something when really we are nothing. Christ is the special one. You know, everything that we do, we could not have done it without him anyway. You know, so, you know, we need to be careful of how we do that. It's good to honor, you know, I say give honor to whom honor is due. You know, that's good. We should do that. You know, but do all things in moderation. You know, and we go on and on and on about it. You know, pride may enter into people's heart. And you don't want to be a contributing factor to someone's fall. So that's important too. If you contributed to it, well, you know, they will give account for themselves because, you know, they should know better. But you might have contributed to it as well, you know, by all the things you say. You know, some people use flattery. Some people use other things. I don't know why people do those things, you know, but people do it, you know, and so on. Now, you know, yeah, it's good to be thankful, Bible says, be ye thankful. You know, it's good to be thankful. It's good to appreciate the grace of God in someone's life. But let's not go overboard in praising people and so forth and doing all of these things. You know, number one, if they yield to that and allow that to get into their head and they begin to desire that, then you have become a contributing factor to their fall. You know, Jesus said, well, even Paul said it, you have now laid a stumbling block before your brother. So be careful the things you say. But to those that are doing anything for the Lord, which should be every one of us, you know, we should seek the honor that comes from God and not the honor that comes from men. Jesus said also, you know, in John chapter 12 and verse 26, he said, look, you know, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Right? And if, you know, you follow me, I mean, if you're my servant, wherever I am, there you will be also. And if any man serve me, he said, look, him will my father honor. Glory to God. So those are the things that we should look for. The honor of men, the honor of God rather than the honor of men. That's what we should look like. Look at. Let me read to you a story here in John chapter 7 of how, you know, people even tried to, some of his, brethren and even his followers and even some of the people in his family, tried to persuade Jesus, you know, to do some things. Well, let's read this story in John chapter 7. See how Jesus handled. You know, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk openly in Jewry because his Jews sought to kill him. Now, the feast of the Jews, which called the Feast of Tabernacles, was at hand. So his brethren, now, when you say brethren, you know, Joseph, Judah, you know, and so forth, the other sons of Mary, you know, and I might talk about that before the end of today's lesson. You know, they said unto him, look, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. And they told him, look, there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself wants to be known openly. Now, they think in their heads, they're thinking that Jesus wants to be known openly. And Jesus never cared to be known openly. Every time he would heal somebody, he would say, tell no man, just go your way, and so forth. But of course, the people would go and publish it. But Jesus didn't care, you know, for that stuff. Occasionally, he might tell them, well, go and show yourself to the priest, according to the law of Moses, in the case of lepers, you know, and so on. You know, but for the most part, he healed somebody who just hide himself and walk away. Didn't want any accolade. In John chapter 5, you know, the man that was kept coming when the angels stirred the water, you know, and so forth. And after the encounter with Jesus, Jesus healed him. And Jesus walked away. You know, in John chapter 9, same thing. He would just heal them and he will walk away. You know, when people say, who is it that did this to you? And so forth, they say, well, you know, I don't know. The man said to me, carry your bed. I said, you can't carry your bed. You know, it's a Sabbath day. So, well, I don't know. The man that healed me told me to carry my bed. I said, well, who is he? So, I can't know. I don't know. The Jew already walked away. You know, he never stayed around, you know, looking for the accolade. He just, you know, out of compassion, heal the person and then move on. And then later on, he might come back and find that person. Say, afterwards, he came back and found him in the synagogue and say, believest thou in the Son of God? And he said, well, who is he? I may believe. And then Jesus might reveal himself to that person. But he wasn't trying to make himself openly known to the people. He didn't care. He always withdrew himself. He said, Lord, the Lord knew that which was inside man. And he didn't, you know, he said, look, I don't seek the honor of men, you know, and so forth. I seek the honor of my Father. So his brethren, this was, when he says his brethren here, these were his siblings, even in his family, telling him, you know, do this thing, show yourself openly. I mean, if you want to be known openly, why are you doing these things in secret? They already know he does things, he likes to do things in secret. And look, no man does things in secret and yet wants to be known openly. They thought Jesus wanted to be known openly. Jesus didn't. And so they said to him, well, if you do these things, show yourself to the world. I mean, advertise yourself, do all of this. Isn't that what we do today? You know, if we do these things, show ourselves to the world. You know, somebody that, you know, has the gift of healing, they must advertise, they must put it on TV. If things are happening in our church, we must advertise, we must broadcast it to draw attention to ourselves. most of the time, it's not to draw attention to the Lord. It's to draw attention to ourselves. You know, I mean, advertise, say how great you are, how great the miracles are. But Jesus, that's not how he did it. He told them no. In fact, he said to them, my time is not yet. At this time, his brethren did not believe in him, we're told. So for neither did his brethren believe in him. At this time, these people did not believe. Well, later on, they believed. I'll tell you that later. But at this time, they didn't believe. And Jesus said to them, look, my time is not yet, but your time is always. You know, and you can go up to the feast. I'm not going yet. For my time is not yet fully come. Because the Father hasn't told him yet. And he's using wisdom, hide himself from. These people are going to get him in trouble by always telling him all these things and so forth. You know, so he's going to hide himself from them. He's going to separate from their company because he doesn't need all this stuff. And Jesus is always using wisdom, you know. And so he sent them. So you guys can go on. And, you know, it's not yet time for me to go. So, but when his brethren were gone up, now we don't know how many days after they left that Jesus waited still. The Bible says, when he had said these words, he abode still in Galilee. And then they went, but he stayed. And he made sure that he didn't travel in their company, you know. And so when they were all gone, the Father said, yeah, all clear. You can go now. So now he's going. He doesn't want anybody telling him things in his ears that he doesn't need to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how Jesus behaved. And we need to learn from it. And people telling him how great he is, show yourself and so forth. He separated himself, distanced himself, basically disengaged from those people. And they were his natural brethren even. He disengaged from them, you know, and then he used wisdom. When they were gone, then he went. He was going to the feast anyway, but he wouldn't go with them. He wouldn't go in their company because they would just be trying to mislead him, tell him things and so forth, get in his head, say things in his ears that he doesn't need to hear. And he knew how to disengage himself. Ladies and gentlemen, these are lessons that we need to learn from the Lord. There are times you need to disengage yourself from people who are telling you things that are contrary or trying to put a stumbling block before you. You know, a sister was telling us a vision that a man of God had some years ago. God was telling him, you know, it wasn't time for him to do certain things, but, you know, he was listening to people, other ministers around him. He's a powerful man of God. Other ministers around telling him, do it this way, do it that way, do this. And he listened. And then the angel was very angry with him. And the angel told him, look, I told you not to do that. You know, so, you know, listen, you can't follow the things that people say. You didn't follow the Lord. And Jesus gave us a good sampling here. And he would always hide himself and not follow what the people were saying. Now, there are many rewards that we can get from the Master. You can get some of them now. You can get some of them in heaven. The ones we get in heaven, they're probably the most precious. You know, I mean, it's going to be like a prize giving day. Jesus said, I come with my reward to give to every man according as his work shall. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22 and 12. So this is not the reward that he can give you now on earth. Those are good, and he will give you those. But there is a other set of rewards that he will give you when he comes. You know, and my goodness, we want that. You know, we want that. That's, you know, that's the time that you're going to shine. That's what he says, that they will shine, you know, as stars in the firmament. You're going to shine. Hallelujah. When Jesus gives you that reward, places that crown of life, or the crown of righteousness, or whatever it is, upon your head and put, you know, and right now, there's a crown that's laid off for us. Paul told us, there's a crown of righteousness laid off for me, but not for me only, you know, and about everyone that's doing righteousness and loving his appearance and doing these things. But we can begin to put jewels in that crown. You know, it's called a royal diadem. A diadem is a crown that has many precious stones in it. You know, all of the things that you are earning from the Lord right now by doing things the right way, and put your jewel in that crown. And when you receive that crown, my goodness, on that day, going to be great. You know, I remember when, you know, I was a young man going to high school and so forth. We used to have this thing they called back then prize giving day at the end of each semester or year or whatever. You know, everybody would come into the big assembly hall all the parents, grandparents, well-wishers, uncles, aunties, everybody's there to see who gets rewarded. They don't tell anybody. But, you know, only the, only the teaching staff know who's going to get the reward. But everybody's there waiting. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people waiting to be drafted into some of these sports that we do today. You know, everybody's hoping that they get called. They're waiting. And then they call your name. They say, mathematics, such and such. You know, they call your name. Then you walk up that, you walk up that stage and you get honor before everybody. Yeah, it's nothing like it. Everybody always look forward to it. And they call science. You walk up that stage again, you get down, they call this, they call that, and so forth. You know, and then there'll be some people there that day. They got nothing. And their parents came, you know, their children got nothing. And they went home sorrowful. But some people got a lot of prizes. In fact, one person might get multiple prizes, you know, and so on. And what an honor, you know, what a special honor they will receive on such a day like that. You know, so it is important for us to do things right. And this business of laying treasure in heaven, we covered it yesterday. You know, but I'm bringing it together with this reward system too as well today, you know, just to wrap up the lesson from yesterday. You know, treasures, you know, the things, you know, Paul talked about in Colossians 3 and 1. Set not your affection on things, you know, on the earth, but on things in heaven. You know, he said, look, if you put your attention there, your heart is there, you know, that's right. And Jesus himself said it. The place where you put your treasure, that's where your heart will be. Well, the way to get things to heaven, give it away here on earth, then your heart will be there. You know, God's going to give us reward. And God is not unfaithful. You know, but his reward system is different, you know, than the way that people do it today. Well, let's talk about some of the rewards that he promised. Praise the Lord. In the book of, and we did this when we did the churches and seven churches and so forth, rewards of the overcomer. We've done this. But let me just read to you quickly, you know, some of the rewards that he promised. To Ephesus, he promised the tree of life, Revelation 2 and verse 7. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of paradise of God. Also, Revelation 22 and 14 talks about that tree. Now, to get this, you must overcome certain things. You know, all the challenges around you at the time, you have to overcome them. And you get that reward. To Smyrna, he said, I'll give you a crown of life. Now, promise to those that love not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12, 11. He says they do not love their lives to the death. That Revelation 2 and 10. Ephesus promise was Revelation 2 and 7. Smyrna was Revelation 2 and 10. I'm going through this very quickly. And he promised them a crown of life. He also promised, you know, escape from the second death. Revelation 2, 11. Both of these were to Smyrna. Then to Pergamos, he promised the hidden manna. You know, to him that overcome it, you know, I'll give him of the hidden manna. He also promised them a white stone and a new name. You know, all of these things, I'm not going to go into what all they are. We've talked about them before. You know, to Thyatira, he promised power over the nations, Revelation 2 and 26. And those that keep his words come to the end. You know, he said he'll give them power over the nations. He also promised the rod of rulership, you know, rod of iron rulership, shall rule them with a rod of iron and so forth. You know, then he also promised them the morning star. You can read all of these promises to Thyatira in Revelation 2, 26, 27, and 28. Then to Sardis, promised a white raiment, Revelation 3 and 5. You know, said they'll be clothed in white raiment. Well, we know that's, you know, brightness of his glory and righteousness of his saints and all of that. He promised that their name will remain in the book of life. and I will confess there before God and his angels their names. And he said, I will not blot out his name, so that your name will remain there. To Philadelphia, in Revelation 2, 3 and 12, he promised to make them a pillar in the temple of God. You know, that they will go no more out. You know, and he also said, look, you know, I will write upon him the name of my God. You know, multiple names. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, and so forth. And I will write upon him my new name. It's about three different names he talks about there. In the name of my God, whatever name he chooses to reveal at that time. The name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, we know that, you know. But he also said, I will write upon him my new name. So Jesus will reveal a new name of himself right now. Yeshua is what we call him, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Well, some point in time later on, he will reveal a new name. And you're going to get it, you know, he said. To Laodicea, you know, these are for overcomers. He said, look, you know, Revelation 3 and 21, he granted to sit with Christ in his throne. He that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. Now, here's an all-encompassing promise. You know, look, not just to Ephesus, Smyrna, and all these people, but even each promise that he gave to each one of those churches were for everybody, because he said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to their churches, plural, not just one. You know, so what I say unto one, I say unto all. This, you know, those promises are for all the overcomers. But here is a great one. Revelation, 21 verse 7. It covers everything. Inherit all things, he said. Now, the prince is the inheritor of all things. He is the coming ruler. He is the one that is heir of all things. And we know Jesus is the heir. And we are joint heirs with him. Well, Jesus promises here in Revelation 21 and 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he will be my son. You know, and incredible promises throughout the Bible. Now, how do we assure ourselves? The question for today is this. And I'm rushing through this because I want to finish this quickly and leave it for more discussion. How do we assure ourselves of more, the blessings, the honor from God? Number one, reject the honor from man. That's right. Let not your heart desire the glory from man. So Jesus taught. He said, look, they do these things to be seen of men so that they may receive glory from men. And he said, well, they have their reward. So we got to reject that. We don't want any part of that. You don't want to do anything to be seen. You don't want anything for glory. You know, and even when you give testimony, you know, in the church, be careful. Is your testimony to bring glory to God and to edify, or is it to show something that you did? You know, sometimes it may be for us to just show how well we did something. And, you know, so that we can crave the hand clap or the accolade or whatever. Well, when we do all those things, you know, and our posture, the posture of our heart is like that. Then Jesus said, he didn't say there's anything wrong with it. And he didn't say you're going to be cast from the presence of God for that. No, but you have your reward, you know. So, I mean, as long as you've done that, you have a reward. You can't get any other reward, you know. But when you give testimony or when you do any of these things, you know, do it as unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Let's read verses 23, you know, and 24. In this place, you know, the Lord is saying to us that, look, you know, whatever you do, he said, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And don't do it as though you need glory for anybody or from anybody. Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward. Now, but if you want the reward of men, then you have your reward. But when you do these things, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward. And somebody, people may not acknowledge you. You know, some people worry about, you know, they didn't acknowledge me. Don't worry about it. If they acknowledge you, you have your reward. You're better off if they didn't even acknowledge you. You're better off if they despise you. Because your reward is from heaven. But if they acknowledge you, you enjoy it and so forth, and you seek that. I mean, nothing wrong if you receive acknowledgement if it wasn't something you were seeking, but you should immediately turn around and give it back to God. Because, you know, all the glory belongs to the Lord. And all the glory must belong to the Lord. That's right. We must always give him all the glory. You know, so now, what was the problem with Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar's problem was he did not give God the glory. You know, he strutted around his kingdom and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the majesty of my beauty and the excellency of my power and all of these things? And he was just bragging about the things that he had done. He never gave glory to God. You know, now, he could have said, you know, wow, look at this place that the Lord gave me. Blessed be the Lord who has made me head over all these people. To him be glory. And his story would have been great. You know, well, his story was great still because the Lord taught us something through him. But he said, is this not great Babylon that I, you know, and he did not give glory to God. And he put all that out there, you know, and well, the Lord showed him and showed us actually more for us than even for him. Well, the Lord did show him that the Lord ruleth in the affairs of men and give it to anybody. He can set over it even the basis of men. Sometimes you look in the kingdoms of this world and the people that come up and be rulers, they're not always the best people in terms of do they really love the Lord? Do they care for the people and so forth? Do they have empathy? Well, you know, Bible says he can set over them even the basis of men. He can do that. But, you know, if they don't give glory to God, you know, God might show them a thing or two. Now, in these days, God doesn't quickly do retribution. But the Bible says, well, people's hearts are hardened to continue their sin because, you know, the judgment of God is prolonged. You know, now, in the book of Acts chapter 12, you know, Herod one day, he spoke, you know, and with a great voice, you know, clad himself and so forth. But he said, wow, this is the voice of an angel, it's the voice of a God and things like that. It was a great orator. And, you know, and that thing got into his head. And it was amazing that the angel of the Lord struck him. You know, I mean, God doesn't do that too often these days. But maybe he might again. Maybe more fear will come into the heart of the people. But isn't God merciful? I mean, have you ever tried to steal God's thunder? You know, what if God struck you down like he did Herod in Acts chapter 12? The angel of the Lord smote him. And, you know, worms ate him up and the people were looking at him. He was clad in regal array and everything like that, crown and everything. All of a sudden, he just became nothing right in front of them. My goodness, what a sight to see. Because, you know, people said, yeah, you speak with a voice like God and the voice of angels. And he took it. And instead of giving glory to God, he didn't. God struck him. You know, so we see these things in the Bible. And these things I've written for examples. You know, that we should give glory to God. Now, let me quickly talk about titles, because I spoke about this yesterday, you know, and I want to talk about it a little more today. You know, some titles are okay. You know, some are given by God, some are given by men. Ones that are given by God, they're good. There's nothing we can do about it. He gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know, God is the one that gave. There is nothing that you can do about that. Jesus was the one that called the apostles. You know, well, okay. You know, in order to fulfill the scripture, like, you know, that says, let his bishopric be taken by another. Well, Judas had to fall from his place and somebody had to take the place. So the apostles gathered together this, you know, say, okay, let's cast lots. Casting lot, you know, that's not the way to do it, but, you know, that was the least they knew then. You know, later on when the Holy Ghost came, you know, they did things, you know, better. You know, so, but, you know, they got this one called Matthias or whatever and added to their company. So, well, you know, we need to fill this spot that Judas lost. You know, but Jesus was the one that called those apostles. You know, and he also called prophets, called evangelists, called pastors, called teachers. But today we appoint them. I mean, we appoint them, you know, to various positions and we give these various titles. You know, it's all good sometimes, you know, as long as we give the glory back to God. You know, and that's what you must remember. You must give the glory back to God and people give you glory. You know, so, but if we don't give the glory back to God, then, you know, then there's a problem. You know, Paul said, look, You know, I was called as someone out of season. And I labored, you know, above all of them. They said, but not me. But it was the grace of God that labored in me. You know, so, I mean, he gave the glory to God. You know, and, you know, nothing wrong with growing into your calling and into your role. But always give the glory to God. You know, we talked about, you know, I even talked about, look, many years ago, even though I was a leader in the house, the fellowship, or even in the church, you know, back then we didn't call it church like that. You know, we didn't use titles of pastor and so forth. You know, later on I got that title. So what? You know, and Paul said, look, am I an apostle? Because people questioned him, you know, people in Corinth, they questioned him whether I was an apostle. Say, well, am I an apostle? Why not? You know, and he began to give his credentials. He didn't need to do that. But because, you know, people are questioning that you're not an apostle. They said all of that. Well, you know, if you're an apostle, you're an apostle. You know, and if you're a prophet, you're a prophet. You're a pastor, evangelist, or teacher, whatever you are, whatever you are. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, so, but are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist? Are you a pastor? Are you a teacher? I mean, are you any of these things? Well, let's give the glory to God. And people have added a lot of titles. There may be nothing wrong with those. But it could also be a slippery slope. I mean, Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus about bishops and deacons and so forth. You know, which are those things that people should appoint. Even elders. You know, these are things that people should appoint. Paul said, I should appoint elders and so on. You know, but people have taken these titles beyond where they should be. Yeah, today it's not sufficient to be an apostle. You have to be an archbishop or something. I don't know where all those things came from. You know, then you have to be an overseer or this and that, GO and all these titles. Well, it may be good. It may be part of administrations, you know, but you know, don't let it get into our heads of all these titles. You know, for me, you know, I use the title of pastor now. People call me pastor. I say, well, you know, am I a pastor? Well, sure. You know, you decide for yourself. Am I a pastor? You know, and what does a pastor do? A pastor is also a teacher. You know, a teacher is not necessarily a pastor, but a pastor is a teacher. As I say, pastors and teachers, you know, a pastor must teach, must feed the flock, and be a shepherd, and cast for the people and so on, you know. And then, you know, then we turn around and give other titles, you know, to people. I mean, you can give them title of usher or this and that and so forth. Nothing wrong with that, you know. When they give any of these titles, we just don't need to get these things into our heads. Usually, some of these things get into people's head, especially if they call you apostle and so on. You know, but did you know that New Jerusalem, I mean, the city of God that comes out of heaven, did you know what the Lord spoke about it? You know, it says it has, 12 foundations. And in those foundations are written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Which 12 apostles? I mean, we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of apostles today. I mean, which 12 apostles are their names that are written there? Jesus also said, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. Well, Judas was among them at the time. Well, Judas would definitely not be there. Yeah, you know, who are these people? I mean, out of all of the literally hundreds of thousands of apostles that we've had, who are those 12? Whose names are written in those foundations? Well, your guess is as good as mine. But I'll leave that there. And there are all these other things that we just make out of nothing. Yesterday, towards the end of the room, there was something said about, a sister spoke to myself, said, you know, they were calling her first lady. She didn't want that title. So she dropped it. You know, and then someone else asked the title. Asked the question about lady. And then I read, and I just read briefly, excuse me, what John said in 2 John chapter 2. But I want to read that to you. I'm just going to close this with this. You know, just an off the side. I call my wife Lady Ebb because I honor her. Call her that, you know, if you want. If you don't, it's up to you. But I do want to call that because I call her that. It's not a church title. It's just something I call her. And John wrote to the elect lady in 2 John chapter 2. Now, yesterday I said to you briefly, I said, well, you know, we don't really know who he wrote to. Well, yeah, we don't. But I think I know who he wrote to. You know, did you know that in John chapter 19, we read an interesting story when Jesus was on the cross? You know, how many of you remember all the things that Jesus said on the cross, when he was on the cross? Well, one of the last few things that he said when he was on the cross, you know, besides "it is finished," you know, before he said "it is finished," he looked at his mom. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he looked at John and said, "Behold thy mother." You know, and Jesus was saying to John, "Take care of this woman." So Jesus was saying to the woman, "Take care of this, you know, you guys look after each other." He was still saying that on the cross. Well, I believe with all my heart that the elect lady that John was writing to, and you can read some church tradition and history and so forth, there is no record here who he spoke to, but I can show you. Probably it was Mary. Because, you know, wrote to her with respect. You know, he called her that. It wasn't anybody that called. I mean, it wasn't a title that Mary desired. Mary didn't want, assuming that Mary was the one that he wrote about, she wasn't desiring to be called anything. Now, people call her all kinds of things today, which are wrong. Some people call her the mother of God and so forth, some religions. You know, but let's read what John wrote to the elect lady, because I just want to talk about that for a minute. You know, the elect lady and her sons and so forth. You know, John said, look, the elder, he called himself an elder. You know, and, Paul and John, Peter, they wrote about this, you know, we are elders. He said, look, you know, don't take up a reproach against an elder. I said, I am myself and I'm elder. Some of them spoke those things. Well, you know, John at this time was an elder. But, you know, he's the mother that was given to him by Jesus was still living. You know, he called her. I believe he was talking to Mary here, writing this story. Say, the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all those that have known the truth. Well, I think everybody knew who Mary was. You know, for the truth's sake, we dwelleth in us and shall be with us and so forth. Grace be to you and so on. And began to tell them, say, I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth. So I have a command from the Father. You know, I say, well, of his children, who is he talking about? Did you know that in John chapter 7, this is just an aside story just for you. Because, you know, all these things are in the Bible, we should know them. In John chapter 7, the story where I read, the brethren of Christ did not believe in him at that time. I read it to you. Say, well, even his brethren did not believe in him. But by the time you get to Acts, this was before Christ, at that time, before he died. By the time Christ died, and I guarantee you, scripture says, thou shalt be saved in thy house. I don't think any of them would have gone unsaved. You know, the Lord would have seen to that. You know, but by the time the Lord would die and would be resurrected, and I was about to leave, here's what he said in Acts chapter 1. You know, you remember the story in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus was about to be taken away from them and so forth. You know, and said, well, you know, this same Jesus whom you see, you know, shall, you know, also, you know, come back in like manner. And so in Acts chapter 1 verse 12, you know, we're being to about 14, we're being told those people who gathered around in prayer. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is in Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey from Jerusalem. And when they were coming, they went to an upper room, you know, and this was the upper room where they were waiting for the Holy Ghost, you know, Jesus told them to tarry. And here, you know, here were all the people, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and all these disciples were there. These all continued with one accord in prayer, in supplication with their women. And the scripture was careful to put some names here. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was among those that waited for the Holy Ghost. You know, that's a good lesson for Catholics, you know. And with his brethren. So these brethren that did not believe in him in John chapter 7, they are now here his brethren here as a covenant of, you know, who are those brethren? Well, you know, if you, you know, the scriptures, you know, talk about it in other places, you know, like, you know, there's this place where they said, in Mark chapter 6, they were talking, they were always grieved, you know, about Jesus, you know, when they looked at him, they said, you know, who is this man? Where does he have all these things from? I mean, what is this wisdom that is given to him? Mark chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And why are these mighty works wrought in him? This man is unlearned. Where did he get all these works from? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? So these are Jesus' brothers, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. You know, are these not his sisters? They didn't name the sisters here, but, you know, all these people, you know, you know, so, and, well, all these his brethren. And, you know, John might have been referring to them saying, well, you know, I'm glad to see that some of your children are now following the Lord, but they were not at the time John wrote about it in John chapter 7. But by the time they got to Acts chapter 1, you know, some of them had believed. And I believe that they had all believed. And they were all waiting there for the Holy Ghost. You know, so it makes sense that could have been writing about this. Why is this important? Not really necessary to our story, but I just wanted to follow the track yesterday about, you know, who was called Lady in the Bible. You know, so this lady and her sons, you know, they eventually believed the Lord. You know, he also told, and at the end of that second, and isn't that beautiful, that will be saved in that house. And Jesus, you know, did that also in his family, you know, and they all were saved. You know, even at, you know, at the cross, you know, this story that we read where, you know, Jesus was doing some things and saying some things at the cross. Well, Mary, his mother, was there. There was somebody else there too. Well, let's take a look. You know, this is an interesting trivia for you. You say, well, who else was there, you know, with Jesus, you know, around him, you know, around the time that he was being crucified? Who were the folks there? Well, you know, there were several of them, you know, and some of the people that were, you know, around him when Jesus was talking, you know, he says, you know, there were, he says now in John chapter 19 and verse 25, I think. Now, there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And his mother's sister. Now, these are all the women that were there. There was also one called, you know, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And there was another Mary called Magdalene. You know, and then Jesus spoke to his mother and so forth. Well, when the disciple John is writing this letter, at the end of this second, this is all the reasons why I believe that, you know, he wrote to Mary. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm saying this at the end of all this analysis. I'll tell you why. You know, when John was writing these things, you know, 2 John, you know, chapter 1, you know, he wrote these things. And at the end, the very last statement, he said, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So we see that, you know, well, Mary also had a sister. So Mary fits the bill in all these descriptions that are here. But why am I saying all these things? Because this was a title that John decided to use for somebody he highly honored and whom the Lord told take care of. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, I use the title, lady for my lady because I honor her and, Lord told me take care of her. Behold thy wife. And Lord said to her also, behold woman, behold thy husband. You know, and, you know, so that's why, you know, we use that title. Now, it's not a church title. Now, that doesn't make my wife a pastor. You know, I mean, some people, you know, they are automatic pastors because their husband is a pastor or maybe the wife is a pastor. Then the husband is an automatic pastor. We don't use that title. I don't call my wife pastor. Some people call her that. She doesn't call herself that because God didn't call her to be a pastor, but I call her lady. Because she's my lady. And I honor her just like John's honoring this elect lady here who I believe with all the analysis I've done would have been Mary. Nobody else fits the bill here. But we thank God that, you know, the brethren of Jesus were eventually saved. Because John is saying it here that, look, I'm glad to see that your children are now walking in truth. And yes, by the time we got to Acts of the Apostles, they were there waiting to receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't believe him at first, but they were there. Mary's sister also was there at the cross, you know, and, you know, John's saying also your elect sister. Also, you know, maybe he was around her somewhere and so forth. So, well, I'll send you greetings and so on. So I'm going to leave that there. I just wanted to address that because it came up at the end of yesterday's lesson. But don't lose sight of the things that we said today. Today's lesson is about us laying treasure and rewards for God, for ourselves in heaven rather than seeking reward from men. Lastly, I want to talk about, you know, something I threw out again at the end of yesterday's lesson, the story of the four people. And the reason that is important is in the things that we do for God, you know, it's important for us not to fold our arms thinking somebody else is going to do it. You know, so we cover that in the, and I believe that, you know, people should, hopefully everybody has read that now over and over again, because I posted it in our WhatsApp channel. You know, the four people that were named, you know, interesting story, you know, and an analysis that bring out a point of how we should not say somebody else is going to do it. You know, who else is going to do it if it's not you? Because you're thinking somebody else is doing, but nobody might end up doing it. You know, so that's an interesting thing to see that way. Same thing also on this platform. Don't think that somebody else is going to do it. You know, sister came out yesterday and was beating herself up on the fact that she always thought somebody else was going to do it. And I said, well, don't beat yourself up. But, you know, the lesson is still there. You know, who is this somebody else that's going to do it? Why not you? You know, and we all have our role. You don't have to do everything that everybody else is doing. But you got to discover your own role and you receive your own reward. You say, each one of us shall receive his own reward. You know, give account of his own self, you know, and we shall receive our own reward from the Lord. So, you know, that's our lesson today. And let's learn from these things. And let me read that story to you again. Four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. You know, and there was an important job to be done. The one that was everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Well, why not them? Well, this is the problem with us today. We always think that someone else is going to do it. You know, but why not you? Now, anybody could have done the job. Nobody did it because they were thinking someone else would do it. Now, somebody got angry because, you know, they said, well, it was everybody's job. You know, now, everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It turned out at the end that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So funny, interesting, but it carries a lesson. So let's get in there in the harvest, in the vineyard. Let the carpenter say to the goldsmith, encouraged, after you've done your part, you know, maybe you warm up the steel and then I come and pummel it or whatever. You know, after I've done my part, you turn it over to people every day in this room to do your part. I give what the Lord is laying on you, you know, and even if that's all you do, if you don't, it's a lot. If you don't say, well, I'm going to be the one teaching the lesson. You can if you want to. God puts it on your hand, but not everybody needs to do that. But if you want to do that, that's fine too. You talk to me about it. You know, but, you know, every day, everybody gets a chance in this room to share and to comment after I'm finished. And I'll be finished here in about 15 seconds. So that's our lesson for today. God bless every one of you. I'm going to pray shortly over the room. Father, we thank you for the word of God today again. You know, let it bear forth good fruit in our lives. And let's not be errors only, but do us all the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.